This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Barrett Salee, kind enough to join us on this Black Friday, CBSSports.com. Also at Barrett Salee on Twitter, at the number 3ManFront on Twitter as well, if you want to interact with us. And he joins us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Barrett, first of all, hope you and your family had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
We did. Hope you and everyone there did as well. Glad to not be at a shopping mall on Black Friday. My dad lives in super north Lake Lanier. I had to drive by the North Georgia Premium Outlets on the way home this morning. And, man, those people are crazy. Like, you couldn't pay me enough to go shopping today.
So I ask you this. Most of your Black Friday is online. Is that what you're saying? Not going out and rubbing elbows?
My wife handles all the shopping. Like, if I were to shop online right now, like if I were to go to Amazon, I'd buy most of the things for me. Actually, pretty much all of them for me.
Yeah.
And no presents.
Do you host Thanksgiving there at your house, or did you travel and go to a relative's house?
We always go to my dad's house up in North Lake Lanier, North Georgia Mountains, because Christmas is always at our house because Santa Claus has to come down our chimney. Otherwise, you get lost.
Okay. Well, so do you travel back or do you actually stay there with your folks? Do you go back to your house?
We stay there. I will drive back and forth, but the wife and the kids will stay there however long they need to stay there or want to stay there.
Well, I wanted to ask this to our listeners because this is something I got to thinking about yesterday, and we will get to the Iron Bowl and college football discussion with you, Barrett, I promise. But when you go to maybe a family member's house for Thanksgiving or go for a holiday meal, do you bring your own Tupperware or to-go containers and presume that you're going to be taking home food?
I never have. That is a really good idea because we always end up with like all kinds of different random, you know, Rubbermaid leftover Tupperware containers. So I never have thought to do that, but that's a really good idea. And next year I'm going to do that because that makes too much sense.
Okay, well, that was all I had there. Pat, let's get to college football.
All right, Barrett, my main question is, did you and the family sit around and watch that tradition that is Utah State and New Mexico last night?
Oh, yeah.
No, we did not. It was pretty much after the NFL games and the Auburn basketball game, we were pretty much done. We did, because it's a classic, watch Christmas Vacation.
Yes,
because I mean that is like honestly, I watch Christmas Vacation just during normal weeks during the year, not necessarily during holiday season. But it felt right on Thanksgiving night to watch Christmas Vacation. I would have killed for an Egg Bowl though, or a Texas TCU game, or the Texas Iowa State game that's being played right now to be on Thanksgiving night, especially considering the only other option was New Mexico versus Utah State.
Yeah, but Christmas Vacation, Barrett, that's one of my favorite movies. That's my top Christmas movie of all time. But I save it for just during the holiday season, during Christmas, because it gets me in the spirit. I can't watch it because I think it would ruin it or water it down if you watch it the rest of the year.
It doesn't. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't. It still hits the right spots during the holiday season. Now, I would say Elf during the middle of July or Home Alone in May. That's a little bizarre, but Christmas Vacation, it should be a 365-day movie. To me, it is. That's just me.
All right, well, bragging rights for 365 days. You get Alabama hosting Auburn. Alabama, a heavy 24.5-point, 25-point favorite in some outlets. The news of Nick Saban testing positive for COVID-19. He's not going to be on the sideline coming up tomorrow. If there was ever an impact of a head coach not being on the sideline, how much of an impact is that for Alabama?
I don't think it's huge, just because Alabama's had time to prepare for this. This week, they went through an entire second half of a game preparation week with Nick Saban not there, and didn't know he was actually going to be there until, you know, Saturday morning against Georgia. So They already have a plan. Yeah, it's a little bit of a shock and certainly will be different, but it's not like they have to scramble to prepare. They know what to do. I think Sarkisian in that spot, I think the one thing that you sort of have to worry about is, you know, where his mindset is. Or is he going to audition for other jobs as a head coach? Is he going to let the emotion of the Iron Bowl get to him, never having coached in anything like this? Those things, I think, are questions that you have to be concerned about. But I think there are enough people on that staff to, from a game management perspective, keep it as similar as it has been under Nick Saban and what Alabama typically does in terms of operation. Like the scheme is already there. The plan, I'm sure, was already in place. So I don't think it's going to be a huge issue.
All right, Barrett, for Auburn, a big underdog, what's their game plan look like in regards to how they stop this high-powered offense of Alabama, and how do they put points on the board?
I think, look, the strength of Auburn last year was the defensive front, and I think watching that game again, which was on yesterday, I guess, it was 48-45, but the defense won that game. It was the front seven and really the front four. Auburn doesn't have that this year. So I just think they have to sit back and try to avoid the big play in the passing game and try to force some mistakes and get creative at the appropriate time and bring pressure, but don't necessarily, you know, get aggressive, too aggressive with it. Because if you start getting into a track meet, they're going to get smoked. They're going to get run out of that building. So, I think defensively, just make Alabama work for it. Try not to let those receivers get behind the defense, and trust that there are going to be some big plays on the offense. And look, I think you go back and look when Auburn's competitive, even when they're outmatched, they always find a way to hit a big play or two or three against Alabama to at least make it interesting. Now, when they're a complete train wreck, they get blown out. That's just how things go, but they can at least find ways to make big plays and get Gus Malzahn's, you know, A game, because he's always working on some of these things. You saw it last year at the end of the game. He obviously has some tricks up his sleeve all the time for Alabama. So if those plays hit and you don't allow the big play, then at least give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter. And honestly, I think that's what's going to happen.
All right, another game that's going to happen a little bit later on, about 2 hours and 20 minutes from now, you've got Notre Dame traveling to Chapel Hill to take on UNC. Does this strike you as a sneaky, scary game, maybe an upset alert for Notre Dame as they might be looking ahead to a rematch with Clemson in the ACC championship game and then a berth in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I think it's sneaky. North Carolina can score a lot. And you've seen them the last few times out just come out hot and never look back. So what a team like that that's so dangerous. I know Notre Dame's defense is solid, but what do we know about college football nowadays is that really the offense drives the bus. And even if Notre Dame's defense plays well, you could still have a situation where North Carolina puts up 25 or 30 points. So, you know, do you trust Ian Book? Do you trust Kyron Williams? I think you can, but I think if you're Notre Dame, you got to shorten the game. You got to keep North Carolina's offense off the field, and as a result, you know, it's going to be a closer game than maybe Notre Dame fans want and expect. So I do think that it should be, you know, North Carolina should keep Notre Dame honest. That offense is so much fun to watch. It's not just Sam Howell. It's their running back, their receivers. They've got dudes everywhere. So it's definitely one to keep an eye out for. And if I'm Notre Dame, you know, if I'm Brian Kelly, I'm doing all I can, Kyron Williams, left, right, until North Carolina proves they can stop it. Because the last thing you want to do is get that offense on the field, five, six times in one quarter.
Barrett, what was your biggest takeaway from the college football playoff rankings on Tuesday?
That the explanations are just wildly inconsistent. That the committee has absolutely no idea how to discuss these teams. Because, look, Oregon at 3-0, I don't know how you put Oregon behind Georgia. I don't know how Georgia's number 9 in the country. They've beat one team with a winning record, and that's Auburn. And haven't had an offense except for one time against Mississippi State. Like, that is insane to me. So to me, it tells me that that quantity takes precedent over quality, which is to me stupid, because it's not the team's fault that their commissioners, you know, mismanaged situations, right? We all know that Larry Scott didn't, and Kevin Warren didn't do the right thing when they, you know, tried to force everybody to fall in line with them. But it's not Oregon, the football team's fault. It's not Indiana, the football team's fault. They just do what they're told. So there's that. And then the BYU thing, trying to say that they haven't played anybody, but then in the same breath putting Georgia number 9 with two losses, it doesn't add up to me. And I think in BYU's case, you have to use schedule intent, because they got totally screwed by the schedule reshuffling. I mean, the fact that they have 12 competitive football games is a minor miracle, right? And so they've been blowing all these teams out. They still convinced Houston, Troy, Boise State, you know, some pretty good teams to play in this year. It's not their fault Boise State was on a third-string quarterback. It's not their fault that Houston is just okay. It's not their fault that Troy isn't what Troy normally is. To say they haven't played anybody, I mean, yeah, okay, but it's not like they've played nobody, and it sure as hell is not like they didn't try. Because look at what they've done. They put together a competitive schedule when I don't think anybody – I mean, that's a minor miracle. So I just think that part of it really, it bothers me. And if it's going to be a Power 5, you know, invitational, fine. And look, in reality, that's what it is. But just say it, especially in BYU's case, because the explanations don't make any sense.
All right, Barrett, finally, when you look at the South Carolina coaching vacancy, Shane Beamer, that's the hot name. Of course, he was born in the state of South Carolina. He served on the South Carolina staff early in his career. He's a young guy, 43, just like Billy Napier, the head coach at Louisiana. That seems to be the other name that continues to trend. Why would this be a mistake if you hired Shane Beamer, a guy who has never been a head coach?
Because he's never been a head coach, and if you're South Carolina, do you really want to be patient again, to be competitive? Because I like Shane Beamer, he'd be a great hire, but if you're, are you going to get more impatient? You know, you gave Will Muschamp a long time. You're going to need to give Shane Beamer probably longer to get the job done. So, you know, I think if you're ready to handle that, if you're South Carolina and you're mentally in that spot, then okay, then hire him. But I don't understand why you would do that over hiring Billy Napier, who is an established head coach who has won big games. I don't understand why you would do that over Hugh Freeze, who's an established head coach who's won big games. I don't even know why you would do that over Jamie Chadwell, who has built a really good program at Coastal Carolina. I understand the traction, and Shane Beamer is going to be a star. I just think that would be... You're putting yourself in a position where you're gonna have a significantly longer rebuild than you would have if you had, you know, Billy Napier, Hugh Freeze, or whoever. It's too much too soon. Now Shane Beamer replacing Billy Napier at Louisiana, yeah, 100% for that.
All right, Barrett, we'll let you get back to your Black Friday online shopping. Pick out something nice for yourself.
Definitely not doing that.
Enjoy the college football the rest of the day tomorrow, and we'll talk to you next week. We always appreciate it, brother. Thank you. Barrett Salee, at Barrett Salee on Twitter, CBSSports.com. That's where you can find Barrett's work, and as all of our guests do, he joins us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline, an easy-drinking hard seltzer, just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.